And we started the recording. And the background.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Hi, Warren, Chris, Kathy, Sean.
Hello.
Rebecca. Okay, it's January. It's February now, actually. All right. I'd like to call the February 3 Newtown Borough Work Session to order. Please join me in a moment of silence, followed by the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. I have one minor amendment to the agenda. The solicitors joining us today will be Lauren Gallagher and Valentina Nicola. Does anyone else have an amendment to the agenda?
Tara, you hadn't written me an email back about the question I had for one of the appointments, so I guess I'll table it. I don't know what to do.
Okay, yeah, for some reason I thought we were doing today, but that's okay. If you want to table it, I'm going to leave that to you. What would you like to do at this point? And I apologize for a confusion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just didn't talk to you about it, so.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, so do you want to have a vote for appointments tonight, or do you want to wait on that?
I'm fine either way. I mean, it really was just the only one in question was the, whatever it's called, the UCC Board of Appeals.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, we can discuss it tonight. That's fine.
Yeah. Or that I thought you were going to was being removed. So.
Yeah. No. I that's what I just said. Since I didn't get to catch up with you.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. So
we'll amend the agenda, and we will wait for the Board of Appeals until the council meeting.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah. So.
Okay.
That one I thought was already off. So, okay. Now it makes sense. So thanks, everyone. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Public to be heard. Anyone? All right. I'm going to move on at the beginning to introduce Warren Gormley from the Newtown Sewer Association to make a presentation on its status. And this is our annual presentation that he does for us. And also, Warren, you know, we'll be voting on our Act 537 after the after the mayor's report. So if you'd like to stick around for that, that would be great. So I'm going to hand it over to Warren. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. For those of you who do not know me, my name's Warren Gormley. I'm the manager for Newtown Sewer Authority. I'd like to start by giving a brief description of what the authority has, what we do, what we're responsible for our ratepayers. Starting with, we have an office right here on 15 South Congress Street. And the authority was created starting in the early 60s for the borough and the township to provide sewer collection and treatment for both. The sewer system that we have currently consists of 101 miles of sewer, five pumping stations, and roughly 2,630 manholes. Then the entire system, you know, as you well know, needs maintenance and attention. Along with the system, with the pump stations, we have the pumps in the buildings. Inside them buildings are control panels. And, you know, there's also sewage pumps. And then also each pumping station has a generator, which is required by DEP. You have to have an alternate power source. with that being said, all of the pump stations, you know, are constantly needing maintenance. And over so many years, like the old switches that would turn the pumps on used to be mercury switches. They all have been updated to the all new electronics. Some of the generators, well, I guess most of the generators have been replaced as well throughout the years. If you don't know, we've been operating, or I should say the authority's been operating for 59 years now. What happens is, you know, eventually we need to replace pumps. We need to replace valves and check valves and so forth. The authority also maintains all of their buildings and performs all the maintenance on all the equipment, the trucks. And in addition to that, we do all the repairs on the sanitary sewer as far as manholes, pipes, and frames and covers. You know, the borough has a road program as well as a township. We try to get that early in the season. And what I try to do is the old manhole frames and covers that you see in the street, whether they're sunk or they're too high, what we try to do is in the program, the road program, we try to correct all that, put new frames and covers in and update everything from 1964, or I should say 62, 63, 64. So basically all of the manholes throughout the years since I've been here there's only a few in the borough that need to be replaced. Almost everything has been completely done. Your sanitary sewer collection system in itself has been completely TV'd throughout the whole entire thing from one end to the other. And we randomly go back out and do night studies. And what the night studies do for us is that we would actually pull manholes in certain areas where the borough drains to. And in them rain events, we can tell if the flow is up from what it was prior years, any rain event. And then we also go out and do dry weather flows, which tells us if we put the stick in and it reads 5 inches in dry weather and we put it in and it reads 5 inches in wet weather, we have no issues. Or if we do have issues, we have portable meters that we can put in different manholes throughout and find out where the problem is. But you know, the system itself is all clay pipe. The only thing we do run into from time to time in the borough is the tree roots. And that's just the years. The tree roots follow. They'll run for 25 feet and enter a pipe and fill the whole entire pipe up like a tube of roots. So basically, that's the only issues we deal with, you know, in the borough. Does anyone have any questions?
Questions?
I was just going to say one of the questions that was brought up at a different meeting was in regards to the minimum that every home is, you know, expected to pay. Could you just talk a little bit about that and why that's necessary?
Yes, I have a presentation to make on that rate. Yes. So basically, our rate structure was our rates are increased back in September 1st of 2020. All the system, whether it be in wastewater or water, all systems have fixed costs. Now, these fixed costs that are associated with the systems are such, you know, as the insurance, the building, the maintenance, the office costs, professional fees, engineering, legal, administrative, and so on. There are also variable costs in the system. Them costs are where the electric changes, also the pump stations that I talked about, the office, the pole barn, and so forth. They're all variable costs that change, you know, throughout the year. The other thing is you have to understand Bucks County Water and Sewer Authority conveys the sewage for us to Philadelphia for treatment. So Bucks County and Philadelphia have and can dictate the rate increases throughout the years as they see fit and have done so, you know, in the past years. The other is if we have a rate increase from Bucks County Water and Sewer, sometimes we are able to absorb that, meaning the Newtown Sewer Authority. Otherwise, we have to put it through as a pass-through increase. And that would be from Philly to Bucks to us. The other thing that you know, the rate increase did reflect a 6% rate increase. And the last one we had was in February of 2018 or 2017. But keep in mind too, that the bill, that your bill, your minimum charge is $68 a quarter. So at $68 a quarter, that is 74.7 cents a day for the quarter. Now, if you're a customer in Northampton, your monthly bill, your bill would be $147.50 for that, for the month. And they have a minimum base charge. If you do not put any flow in the system, they have a minimum base charge of $33 a month. So quarterly, that would add up to $99. So, you know, the sewer authority, the flow for the quarterly bills, I mean, it's a $68 charge. If you do not put flow into the system, or if you're a business that went out of business, but you're still connected to us, it's more or less a generation charge. And, you know, the commercial end of it as well, we would, there, the commercial end, the minimum of the commercial end is $83.50 per quarter per unit. If anyone has any questions.
No, that's great information. And Warren, thank you so much for also letting us know about Northampton too, just knowing what other municipalities nearby, you know, as far as no matter just using the services, you know, what they're charged. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Warren. All right, looks like Bob has a question.
Warren, are you getting adequate notice from us on which streets will be in the road program for 2021?
No, I see it on the agenda. I haven't got the notifications yet. When it used to be with PCNS, I did receive them. I don't see any problem. I think Michelle Fountain would probably be the one I'd be looking to give me that information. I have dealt with Michelle Fountain over the years. Yep, I no problem.
Because we've made our decisions, and it'll be coming up. Michelle will talk about it tonight.
Oh, thank you. Okay, great. No. Yep, that's
next,
fine.
Week.
Next week.
Oh, next week. I'm sorry. Yeah. Next week.
Yeah.
Hi, Warren. This is Marvin. Do you happen to know what percentage of households in the borough go beyond the minimum charge or are at the minimum charge?
No, I don't know that at this. You know, I could get that for you, but I don't know right at this minute.
Warren, just sort of a curious question. You described going out at night and looking at the variability of rainwater and rainstorms and dry times. Is there any particular reason at night? Is it there's less traffic in the road, or is there something else with your inspection?
Well, the night flows. What happens is when no one is up, and there is no flow use, meaning from households, that gives you a flat line to be able to start with, and then you can go from there as far as and build that, you know, well.
Now that actually makes a lot of sense, yeah. So thank you, and that's great. You've got everything telescoped and all, you know, all the miles done. So that's great, thank you.
Okay.
Does anyone in the public have any questions for Mr. Gormley? No? Okay, so thank you. Then I guess we're ready to move on to the solicitor and, after the mayor's report. So I'm gonna hand it over to the mayor and then we'll come back to 537.
I want to thank you, Warren, for your number of years and your ability to serve the community through the sewer authority and your expertise, because it's very much appreciated, not only by us, but I know by all the residents that are served by that. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to, Chief Sabbath and Tara and I as a police committee have interviewed and are recommending the hiring of Kyle Arias. As a non-civil service police officer, effective as the date of his swearing in, conditional upon successful completion of the recertification as a police officer through the MPC Education and Training Commission at an effective rate of $19.50 an hour. Kyle is a resident of Bucks County. He earned a bachelor's degree from Shippensburg University in 2016. And graduated from the Temple Police Academy in 2016. He previously served as a police officer in Upper Makefield Township Yardley Borough, Morrisville Borough, where he is currently employed as a part-time basis. So if anybody has any questions, I see that Kyle is in attendance tonight to hear his appointment. And then we will get together after this has been done and get him sworn in so that we can further have some more part-time officers to supplement our staff. So does anybody have any questions?
You need a motion?
I would like a motion from someone, please.
Okay, I'd be happy to make the motion. I move that we hire Kyle Arias as a non-civil service police officer, effective as of the date of his swearing in, conditional upon successful completion of recertification as a police officer through the Municipal Police Officers Education and Training Commission, with the effective rate of $19.50 per hour.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Are there any further questions or comments? Mr. Arias, thank you so much for joining us. If so, then and I would like to note that everybody has seen your resume and taken a look at all your good qualifications. I'd like to call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? The motion passes. And before we move on, Mr. Mayor, may we, since he's here joining us, introduce, we've got, at least on my screen, going across members of council, Bob, Julia, Nicole, Marv, and Sue, and then our secretary, Judy, who you met when you came in, and then you've met with myself and our mayor, Mr. Schwartz, and our chief, who is not with us tonight. So thank you.
Welcome aboard, Kyle, and thank you for submitting your application.
Can he be unmuted?
Tara?
Yes?
Do we know his expected date? When can we swear him in?
Be within the next 2 weeks, but we can't have it a specific time because of his schedule and Tara's chiefs and mine.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And making sure all the requirements go through, which I don't expect that there should be any problem, but as soon as possible, basically.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. I would like to have a moment of recognition for two longtime borough council or Newtown borough residents. The first one is Albert Al Jones, who was the longest active member of the Newtown Fire Association. He was an active member for 71 years. He was a past president, chief, assistant chief, and a firefighter. And he took great pride in his community, also serving the borough for a number of years as a streets maintenance person. And the other one is a 95-year World War II Navy vet, of which also Al Jones is a Navy vet. Clifton Tip Wiggins, who was a business owner, auto body shop owner here in Newtown. Both of them are longtime vets and residents, lifelong residents of Newtown Borough. So I'd like to dedicate a page to each of those longtime borough residents in memory of their service to the community and their residency here in town. And also, for if we could just have a brief moment of silence in memory of them. And I thank you all very much. So that's all I have tonight, Council President. And take care. And I will be here if anybody has any questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to move on to the solicitor's report then. All right, Lauren.
Thank you. Two items this evening. As was mentioned earlier, the first item on tonight's agenda is Resolution 2-3-2021, which will replace Resolution 10-7-2020A, approving the Act 537 plan special study. The revision includes the alternative of continuing with the implementation of the Newtown Bucks County Joint Municipal Authority's I&I plan within the borough. The resolution was in the packets and it's fairly straightforward, but either myself or Warren can answer any questions.
One thing that might be helpful is, and it'll be great, Warren, since we have you here, sort of explain to the public what this is. This is an update to an act that was last updated 2013-2014. And this is our agreement with our own Newtown Sewer Association and with Philadelphia via this. This is a state act, and this is our agreement. Everybody's required to do it if we want to pick our sewer. So you may not think that much about it, but when you use the toilet tonight and it goes down to the sanitary sewer that Warner was talking about, it has to go somewhere. It actually goes all the way down to Neshaminy, where it comes in with other municipalities at the Neshaminy Intercept, heads on down to Philadelphia, gets processed, and it eventually ends up either being recycled or into the Delaware River all nice and clean. But one of the big problems that we've had over the years is, as you know, all the development generates not just traffic, but outflow of other source. And the sewers are only so big. And you may have known a few years back, we had a moratorium on our EDUs. We couldn't develop. People had to get permission. If you pay attention to Court State, you might see that they have to list theirs. So what are you putting in the way of anything that might go into sanitary output, whether it's a shower or a toilet, a sink, and so on. And so this is our updated agreement that says, yes, we agree with this plan and we meet all the requirements. And so does the Sewer Association. So that's my quick, friendly layperson's summary of what we're voting on. And Warren, I'm wondering if you might like to make some comments in from your professional perspective.
Well, that was a great job. I really don't have any much to say now. You did really well. I could start by, just saying that the Act 537, what that is that's a DEP requirement. What they call the Sewage Facilities Act. And what happens is it's all DEP driven through the municipalities, and they're required to update just because of municipal zoning changes and so forth throughout the years. In other words, years ago, you used to be able to put 75 townhouses on 10 acres. Now, that density has changed. So the lower the density, the lower the housing, the higher the density, the more housing. So what happens there is all that information has to be collected from all 13 municipalities that have to discharge into the Neshaminy Interceptor, which is owned by Bucks County Water and Sewer, which eventually flows to the Philadelphia plant for treatment. So the reality of it is the authority years ago had the treatment facility, and we would take everything, and then we would discharge into the Neshaminy. Now what has happened is we are the collection part of the system. Bucks County is the conveyance part of the system, and Philadelphia is the treatment part of our system. So basically what happens is all three have to know what's going on with all 13, and also all have to fall into the requirements of DEP. So what it does is it gives DEP a broad look on all of Upper and Lower Bucks County, all 13 municipalities, what their requirements are and what their sewage loading is going to be on the interceptor, or in this case, it's Bucks County's Neshaminy interceptor line. So basically what happens is the Bucks line was overloaded. DEP mandated that they do something. With that, DEP also mandated that every municipality, all 13, have to redo and restructure their 537 plans, have all of them turned in for prior approval until Bucks County came up with an alternative to fix the problem on the interceptor. So basically what happens is once that Bucks County comes up with that alternative, then DEP has to review it with all of the 537 plans from all 13 municipalities. Then they look at all the capacity requirements that everyone is asking for. And then they go back and look at Bucks's line and say, okay, is it big enough? Is it not big enough? This is what we need to do. So basically what happens is now that it's designed and you have the blessing of DEP, you move forward in the process. And what happens is, first of all, you have the 60-day advertising requirement. Now that advertising requirement is for comment. And then comments come from Bucks County Planning Commission, Bucks County Board of Health, and they also come from your local planning commission. I did receive a call from Bucks County Planning Commission. I did answer the questions. He wanted to know about the system, the how many pipes, the sewers, how many pump stations, and so forth. That was that. And there was nothing else. They just wanted to familiarize what we have. Bucks County Board of Health, I didn't hear anything, so I believe the borough didn't hear anything as well. And then your planning commission, I believe, had some questions, but everything was answered. So at that point, once the 60-day advertising requirement is done, then you go on to a 30-day advertisement for the public, and then that's public comment. Mm-hmm. Once you pass that time, then you move forward, and we're where we are right now. What happened is that your plan was put in and approved back in 2013 by Gannett and Fleming, who sent that to DEP. It was approved in its entirety, except for it didn't have the alternative. So once the alternative was put in, and then along with the alternative, DEP made every single municipal authority be responsible for their I&I. So in other words, they all had to put together an I&I plan of study, and that I&I plan of study had to be reviewed and approved by DEP.
Yeah, so and that's your infiltration where you have leaks. So if there's a crack in a pipe, and that's what Mr. Grumman was talking about earlier with looking for roots, you can imagine how much rainwater gets in when you're talking about measuring those night levels. And now we're responsible for filling that pipe up with fluid that didn't come from our buildings, our structures. It didn't come from us. It came from the rainwater.
Right. And what happens, in essence, you're paying to have rainwater treated or infiltration coming in. Just to give you a quick example, we had an issue out in the industrial commons. And what happens is we're watching the meters. We have meters. So we can watch the flows in a rain event come up like almost 300,000 gallons. So we go back out, we start setting in we start setting in portable meters in different areas. We look at that data. The next thing you know, it says, oh, we're going left and we're going up toward the NAC. And we go up. No, it's not in the NAC. Now it's going up toward the post office. We go up to the post office, and in between the post office and the building beside, there is a low spot. Well, here, some commercial lawnmower, he hits the frame and cover, knocks it off. The area filled up with water, drained into the manhole. So that flow, you can pick that up right away. So that's just one instance. And just think about how many pipes. You got standpipes in your yard. Everyone has a clean out or a vent. That's the other thing. If they're all low or they're in driveways, they're picking up water. That's the other thing. The manhole replacement, why we did that, the frame and covers, is they used to have holes in the lids for the pick holes so you can lift them up. So what happened is I used to put in these things called hats, and they sit inside and collect water, but the water would get so heavy, they would drop inside. So we got rid of that idea, and then we just started replacing them. So what I came up with at the foundry, we deal with it's called East Jordan Ironworks. And I work with them very closely when I redid the standard specs. The manhole lids themselves all have an O-ring, a rubber O-ring dovetailed in the lid. So there is no water coming in whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So everything is getting replaced, or has been almost everything has been done.
So that's great. Thank you. I'm also seeing that we have Chris Ferrata and Chris Gusty here. And I'm wondering if you have any comments related to the sewer authority or F-537. It's okay if you don't, but I wanted to make sure you're included if you do.
It's Christine. I just wanted to thank Warren again. I've been a member of the board for the sewer authority for about 6 months now. And Warren and his team, I've really been impressed with Warren and his team and the work that they're doing. So I think Warren has shared a lot with you. I have nothing else to say and just wanted to thank Warren again myself.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any other comments or questions? Bob?
I have one for Warren. Warren, with the snow we've had this past 4 days, if it would warm up to 50 and it would rain Friday and Saturday, are we in any danger?
No. You mean as far as sanitary sewer?
Yeah.
No. No.
Okay.
You mean overflows or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not at all. No, we haven't overflowed in the borough. And back in, it was 84.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Shall we? We have a motion. We have a second. Lauren, should I read the entire thing out, or shall we make it the resolution number? And everybody has basically heard the summary. Or should I read the exact words?
You can just read it out as it would be a motion to approve or adopt resolution 2321, which replaces resolution 107-2020A.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Perhaps I could entertain a so moved.
There you go.
So moved.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for our Sewer Authority volunteers, and thank you very much, Warren. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. If anyone ever has a question, just give me a call here at the office. I'm available 8 to 4:30 every day. Okay?
All right. Thank
you all. Take care.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
The other item in our report this evening is the discussion of zoning hearing board application of 550 Lafayette Street. This application is actually in front of Newtown Township. So it's in front of the council this evening to discuss whether or not the borough would like to take a position on the application.
And the main concern is the driveway frontage.
That's correct. So my understanding is that the applicant has indicated that they, with whatever changes are made, they would comply with the borough's zoning ordinance, but it's unclear whether or not there will be changes to the current width of the driveway based on that.
So the question is, what would council like to do? For example, would we like to send a letter to the zoning hearing board stating that we want them to comply with the driveway frontage ordinance in Newtown Borough Code, for example, because while we share the property with the township, the frontage is in the borough. Or would we like to not do anything?
Does the zoning hearing board application have anything about the driveway?
No, my understanding
asking for any relief related to the driveway?
My understanding is that they are not. Right. They are requesting several different items of relief. It's just not clear whether there will be any changes to the existing driveway, but they have indicated that they intend to comply with the borough zoning code with respect to the driveway.
I would think that if there's no request related to the driveway, we don't need to submit anything.
I agree. And then even if it can just be reiterated that they have to make sure they're following borough code, I feel like that would be sufficient. I don't know.
Well, they would have to apply for a frontage frontage permit from the borough to do work in the front there anyway. And Michelle is obviously already aware of the issue with the driveway and has already been in touch with the applicant. And as I understand it, they're going to the township for a special exception because by the township law ordinance, they have a non-conforming lot, but that really has no effect on the borough. So I see no reason to be involved in this one.
Yes, they're going to the township for a special exception and I believe a couple of dimensional variances. But that's under the township's code, not the borough's.
Okay. And if they decide to draw up a frontage permit request that involves a too wide driveway, then they would then be notified that they need to come to our zoning hearing board for
okay. All right. Sorry. So maybe I don't want to say a stupid question, but how is it that their property in the front is in the borough and the back? Like I don't know if I missed that and what we were saying.
You know when you look at the the map of the borough. And I'm going to do this in reverse, so excuse me. But
I have the picture.
You have the angle over here, over by Lafayette. And so basically how the borough, that angles up, that angle goes right to their property. So most of their property is in the township. The whole back half is in the front in the township, but they have this triangle in the front that's in the borough. It's weird.
Okay. so they're like the border.
Yeah.
Yes, because I'm looking
and be like, I'm in the borough, I'm in the township. So
because I'm looking on Google Docs. So then if they're 550, then their neighbor you're saying is in the township most likely.
The angle goes down through a couple properties.
Hmm. Okay.
And they're officially in the township, I think, because most of their property is, and I'm sure there's some way that works that Lauren could edify us if we were interested at some point, perhaps not right now, on how that's decided. But their official address, they're taxpayers of the township, but they need to comply with the portion of their property that's
okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So are we good then? Just let it go through the official processes?
Yes, and unless there's anything else, that concludes our report this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, under the president's report, I do want to, remind the public and for members of council to get it out there. I know it was in the paper in the advance. Jeff wrote about our February 25th special meeting. And again, this is to consider getting a single trash hauler for the borough, and we want to get public input. So we had, I think it was 50 some percent of our respondents on our survey indicated that they were interested in this. We had 20 some saying no, and then another portion saying they weren't sure. And later in tonight's meeting, we'll be talking about the agenda for that and what kind of issues we want to make sure to discuss. But I think it's very, very important for this to get out there in the public that we're having this. And if you can't attend, we take emails, we take actual mail. We're going to compile the responses, and we want to get as much input as possible. There is part of it is, are you interested in doing it or not, as long as your prices don't increase? And then the other part is you might say, well, yes, I would like it, but I want to make sure that it has X, Y, or Z conditions. So we really, really, really need to hear from the public on this. So again, February 25th at 7:00 in the evening, that's a Thursday, or send us emails, send us letters, tell us what you think. Thank you. And that's all I have. So I'm going to pass it on for budget and finance. I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the professional services invoice.
I move to approve the professional service invoices for December 2020.
I'll second. And then I do have a question. Did anybody else get Rudolph Clark in a way other than as a HTML document? The Rudolph Clark invoices?
It was uploaded this afternoon. This afternoon we got the whole invoice uploaded.
Oh, there was a second one. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I took a look at that invoice and I didn't have any questions on it, but it came very, very late. And I'm wondering why. Is there something we can do? Because I mean, this is a bill for services rendered in December, and we're talking about it in February, but we got it like February 3rd in the afternoon.
Yeah,
I don't know what the issue is. Maybe Lauren can figure out why we're getting it so late.
Sure, I'll talk to our controller tomorrow and and see if we can get that to you earlier in the month. I do, we should be able to get that to you earlier though.
Yeah, right. Pat had been in conversation and been asking for it and noting that we had our meeting coming up. And I think your controller, she was, things have been very busy. And so we do, it is helpful to have it earlier so everybody has a time to look at it, because not everybody can look at it the afternoon of the meeting.
Of course, I'll talk to them tomorrow about it, and hopefully we can get that remedied for you next month.
Thank you. Did everybody else have a chance to take a look at it? Are we good with it? Okay. Any other questions or comment? Public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. All right, thank you. All right, on to the EAC. Julia, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay, so I have two items to talk about. I'll talk about the shorter one first. That's the a quick update on the new park that we're developing at 112 Court Street, which is, as you all know, the rear lot behind the Bird in Hand. Just to let you know where we are in the process, I just received a email from the DCNR advisor, or I guess it's not actually an advisor at this point. It's the person at DCNR who is overseeing our grant, and within the next month or so, I will be having a phone conversation meeting with that person and with our design consultant to get started on producing the documentation that DCNR requires. And once they receive what they require from us in terms of the next level of documentation, then they will give us a portion of our grant up front. So that's where that process is right now. The second item I wanted to talk about is the discussion of topics for the February 25th meeting that Tara just mentioned with regard to single haulers. I don't know if you all had an opportunity to take a look at the draft agenda that I put up. I can share it here. Let's see here. So what I'm proposing at this meeting is to give a little bit of a background as in a PowerPoint presentation to the participants, to give them information not only regarding what feedback we received first from the resident survey that was done for the comp plan, where there were a lot of interesting comments about trash hauling. And also there was a question about, are you interested? I've also been in touch with a number of other municipalities to ask them how they handle their contracts with a single hauler. And there are various different methods of doing this. And I would summarize that information. Talk a little bit about the pros of a single hauler contract, what it would mean for the borough, what the cons might be, and then to discuss the process in terms of how one might go about it, should we decide to pursue that. And then have an opportunity for public discussion about what sorts of services we might want to include in our request for a bid. So for, you know, how many pickups and so on and so forth. And this is an opportunity for whoever is participating from the public to give us some ideas. Also thought I would play around with using the polling option that we have in Zoom, where you can actually put some questions up and everyone in the audience can respond. You don't know who said what, but you'll find out how many people want this versus that. And then we can go from there. So I'm wondering if anybody's had an opportunity to look at this agenda or wants to give me some comments later of anything that you think you might want to consider to include up front. Not necessarily what kinds of information you're expecting the participants in the meeting to provide, but what sorts of information you think would be helpful for the public to have in the introduction.
So is the EAC going to be involved in the logistics of the meeting?
The EAC hasn't been invited to attend, but I, at this point, I think it's a council decision, so I was going to run this portion of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think their voices is, it will be very important because they presented council with the idea and did a lot of that initial research. So hearing some commentary from them on why will be, you know, I think that will be helpful to add that voice. But not that they are necessarily running it at this point.
Right. I did send this on and got some feedback from Bill Heineman, chair of the EAC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously that we've already told the members that the meeting is coming up and they would be free to, you know, to interject. And most of the information on this PowerPoint with some updates came from the PowerPoint that was put together by the EAC initially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. So one comment under the cons, and that might be something we want to be able to address because this was something that came up in an email that I received from a resident who was against it. And also I saw a couple times mentioned in our survey comments. And it's a subcategory of a lack of vendor choice, but the concern is, so I have my officially approved hauler that I must use. And now this hauler is I don't know, leaving a mess, not showing up. They're not providing me the service in a way that I like. And if it was my own hauler, I could end the contract and go to somebody else or threaten to do so. Oh, yes. So then this person who wrote me and kind of what I saw in those comments, but then she would lose that power. So it's a perceived con, and either it is a con, and yeah, you'd be stuck with it whether you liked it or not. But obviously, we would want to hear the complaints, and we would convey that back and ask for that to be corrected or require that they be corrected. But I do think it is something that's on people's minds.
Well, and obviously, there's always the issue with trash haulers not living up to their contracts. And in this case, though, if the contract with the borough and the hauler, if they're in violation of their contract, we can just kick them out.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I know you don't have the hands-on approach of saying like, oh, well, you threw my trash can into the street. But if you call Judy and say, Judy, they threw my trash can into the street. I mean, we start piling up complaints with the haulers. You know, we do have leverage. I mean, if we have the contract with them, they have to live up to the contract.
Right.
So that's why the contract is important to make sure it's written properly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important for that to be addressed, acknowledged, and conveyed in the meeting because mm-hmm. I think that's probably other people will have that concern as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll make a comment in here.
And I know we've talked about this before, but my biggest concern is from going from four different haulers to one is that, you know, part of the plan is that every individual household then needs to deal with that trash company to cancel and get their trash bins back. And so I think that that's something that would be a concern for the public, just having to deal with that whole process. Because it's one thing if you're deciding on your own to change a company, it's another thing that your municipality is telling you that you have to.
Right.
So I could just see that being a little, maybe there's some sort of way that everyone that has X, Y, and Z company puts their can out the same day, or I don't know, could they even use the other cans? Because one thing that was weird when I was reading through some, or not weird, but different, when I was reading through some of the other municipalities' way that they do it, like they don't even have, like, oh my God, you have to like buy a trash can? You know, like, we get supply, we're kind of spoiled, right? So we get supplied our little, you know, our trash can with the heavy lid and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I just think that may be a concern that we'd have to iron out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would be annoyed if I was told you have to do this now and you have to go through the hassle of getting that returned and getting your new one. Yeah.
Well, that's certainly a question actually that could be raised with municipalities and ask them how they handled it when mm-hmm. they switched. Well, yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
For the agenda, would you include the current ordinances that are in place and what ordinances we would need to change or to supplement whatever we have now. That's for the 25th meeting, not for now, but I would like to see that on the agenda.
Well, I think that might be getting a little bit too technical for this meeting, because we have a trash ordinance. We just have to see how this needs to be changed, and that's for our solicitor to help us with. But that's really not going to impact the residents themselves. I think more the point, what's going to impact the residents is what sorts of services are going to be provided and the cost and those sorts of things. They're not going to care how the ordinance is written.
Well, we presently have no pickups on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, but because of holidays and bad service, I know at least one of the haulers is currently picking up on Saturdays, the recycles. So I just think it would be helpful just to have a quick overview of what's currently permitted and not permitted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can put that in.
Because if we're changing to one hauler, and this is really going to put a equipment and personnel situation on that company, we don't want them starting missing the Fridays and picking up on Saturdays, and we're back in the same problem.
Right. They're only allowed to do it after the specific holidays mentioned in the ordinance. So if that falls on a trash pickup day, you may do it the next day, except Sunday.
One of the haulers sent a notice out because of the snow. There'll be no recycle pickup this week at all. And they're going to pick up trash on Saturday. So
right, and that does not follow the order. So that's an enforcement thing, and that is an issue. But perhaps a quick overview of these are the official days, which we hope you know, since that you know when you put your trash out. But for everybody to understand, this is what it is.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, if you have any other thoughts, Phil, please email them to me and. I'll incorporate them.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone in attendance, anyone in the public have any comments or you can email Julia if you have anything that you think might be helpful to put on the agenda for that meeting. All right. Thank you, Julia. All right, and everybody get the word out. Okay, on to personnel. Oh, Nicole, you're muted.
Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, so for tonight, we're gonna do one personnel appointment. We had two applications for one available hard position. And after consideration, I moved to appoint David Page to the Historic Architectural Review Board for the remainder of a 3-year term through December 31st, 2020. What would that be? This is wrong on here. If we're in 21, 24, I guess it should be.
Well, it is Nicole, it's not necessarily 24.
When does the term end? It's not 3 years from now, it's a remainder of a 3-year term.
So the way that I wrote it down, which is incorrect, I put the remainder of a 3-year term through December 31st, and it said 2021, but I guess it'd be 2024.
No. Is this person taking, would David be taking, completing a term for someone who resigned midterm?
Correct. It's a vacancy that-
So it's only, well, so it's only for the 1 year. That's where the erroneous, okay.
Well, no, it's a remainder of the 3-year term, but the 3-year term ends on on December 31st, 2021.
Right, but for David's purposes, it's just.
But he's serving the remainder of a 3-year term.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's written correctly on the agenda.
I'll just repeat. So the remainder of a 3-year term through December 31st, 2021.
Second.
The only thing I'll add is one thing that David had mentioned is that he loves and appreciates historic homes. He did a renovation of his house And he did a very thoughtful, respectful renovation that stuck to the guidelines that were established. And he would like to start volunteering in the community. So just wanted to put that in there.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole. Do we have any other comment? Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you, Nicole. All right, summary of the update on the Planning Commission, Mark.
Okay, so the Planning Commission meeting was on February 1st, this last Monday. And the only real items of business were the work on the comprehensive plan. There was no other business in front of the Planning Commission. The chapters that were discussed that were drafts from the Bucks County Planning Commission were regional compatibility, which essentially how does Newtown Borough, you know, fit in with its neighbors. Obviously, the big item is Newtown Township, since essentially the township surrounds us. So there was like, you know, on our borders, you know, how consistent is the borough with the township or vice versa? How can we make planning to either be consistent or try to move in a better direction of what different parts of the borough in relation to the township are? Then of course, the other thing is the jointure that the borough is not a part of, but that Wrightstown, Newtown, and Upper Makefield are in. The second chapter was on economic development, which is also known as essentially non-residential development. So that's everything other than houses, pretty much. Mainly the two types we have in the borough are the businesses, which are spread in different areas, you know, different parts of State Street, you know, center, you know, some other parts of the borough. And then there is the, you know, industrial area that is, you know, kind of wraps around, you know, South Lincoln, Chancellor, that kind of area, and how that fits in with zoning and how to best move forward on that. Another thing that was presented was an outline for future land use, which again comes into where is our zoning now, what would we like to see, and on a broader visionary scale than on just the actual zoning map. The way I like to look at it is, you know, that big map that's on the borough council chamber wall that was actually not put together by the borough, was put together by another group. But, you know, what would the borough like that map to look for in terms of what the vision is for the next 10 years? So again, so there will be discussion of the draft of that. So there were points brought forward. In a way, this was a more satisfying one because in a lot of the other chapters, a draft chapter was brought forward to look at and comment. This time there was actually an outline brought forward to discuss for the preparation of the chapter. So it's almost a more satisfying way to do that. So that chapter will be then discussed at the next meeting, which is on March 1st. Then a full second draft at this point would be scheduled for April, which is the Planning Commission meeting is April 5th. And so I'd say there's the potential that for the special meeting at the end of April, we would consider some sort of joint council planning commission, Newtown Planning Commission meeting to go, you know, put our heads together over the second draft.
Thank you, Mark. Does anyone have any questions for Mark?
I actually do. I'm not sure I understood. Where in this process is Borough Council going to receive the second draft? You think that's going to be in April? Is that what you're saying?
I would expect that we should be able to, for us to be able to have this meeting late in April, we would have to be seeing it in April.
Okay, and so it's going to come to council to look at, then talk to with the Planning Commission, and this is kind of still a working product. It's not fully published yet at that point.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mark. All right. Streets, lights, and properties. Sue, Bob?
Bob, do you want to talk about snow removal before I talk about Washington?
Talk about Washington, then I'll talk about snow removal.
All right. And okay. And we do have Cindy Flynn and her, I'm assuming, I don't know if her husband Frank is also in on her Zoom, joining us. They are the residents at 101 Washington.
Okay.
101 Washington, okay.
So I just wanted to have a really a philosophical discussion. As you know, we're going to be repaving Liberty Street this year. And we have ordinances that make it the homeowner's responsibility to replace curb if it's damaged. We have an ordinance that also says that we can require residents to put in a curb if none exists, but we've never actually applied that before. And we have a tiny little section that's 14 feet long on the Liberty Street part of 101 Washington, right in front of the driveway, where there's no curb. So the cost of putting in a curb on that short little section would be about $1,400. Because we have never asked a homeowner to install a curb before where none exists, and because I personally feel very strongly that it's important for the integrity of the street, I wanted to have a discussion about whether or not the borough should pay to have that 14-foot section installed. Obviously, I think we should, or I wouldn't have brought it up.
I'm not trying to correct you, Sue, but is it 14 feet? Did we figure that out?
It is. Yeah, we went back by. It's 14 feet. Yeah.
Yeah, this would be the depressed curb at the bottom of the apron.
Depressed curb. Gotcha.
Yes. The rest has, there's curb everywhere except this little section right in front of the concrete apron.
A question that I actually have for you, Sue, which I didn't think of until just before the meeting. The neighbors are having their apron put in, so they will have a depressed curb installed as part of their new driveway and apron installation, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So then you would then have, because right now it's just sort of very old school and you've just got, one has a concrete ramp and that's 101 Washington has their concrete ramp. And then the neighbors have a asphalt bit that kind of connects the road to the sidewalk. And there's no depressed curb either place. So part of what would happen if we don't put one into this driveway is that you would have the depressed curb of the newly installed apron ending, and then nothing there across the Flynn's driveway, and then their curb picking up as it does now.
Correct.
And it is essentially one long depressed area. There's no demarcation between them. And just to check on what I was talking with Sue about, in terms of which properties have what, is that, so there are actually only two, I'll call it driveways. Is the second one both the Liberty Street house and going back to 105? Is that a joint entrance for both of them? Because I thought there were actually three, but there are, in spite of the snow, you can tell there are only two, but one, you know, there's the garage that's set back a couple hundred feet, you know, plus you've got obviously the home directly to the left, which is the Markey residence. So is that entrance for both of them in a joint fashion?
I guess maybe.
I think Cindy can describe it. If you sit, the Flynns have got their driveway section, which goes up.
Yeah, they've got their own. They've got their own garage.
Their barn, right? Yeah. And then you've got next to it, but with all the same, you know, the different materials in the apron, but all one kind of angled section going up that goes up to 105. So I don't know, Cindy, do you have a comment on how it's structured? And she's muted. There you go.
There you are.
All right, you're on.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Yeah, that's correct what you said, Tara. We have a little
short little driveway up to our barn, and then their neighbors going back to 105 have a drive. And that's also a drive for the house next to us on Liberty Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, two down.
I don't know the number though.
Yeah.
So there's a common driveway to two houses. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so the common driveway to two houses. One is one, I believe 105 Washington. I'm not really sure the number.
The old schoolhouse and the Guernas house.
Yeah, the old schoolhouse.
The old schoolhouse on Liberty, and then the 105 Washington. Yes.
The third house on Washington.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Because Ed and Audrey would be 103.
Yes.
Yeah, 103 has a driveway actually on Washington.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that driveway goes back to 105, which is, you know, does not have a driveway on Washington.
Yes.
So how many properties have access off of Liberty to that back area? Two or three?
One.
Damn it. I'm trying to show my screen. I have a photo of it, but I can't. It keeps clicking off. I can't make it work.
If you walk down the Flynn's driveway, how many properties does it access to?
Okay, what we just described, there's our little driveway on Liberty, which goes to our barn. And then right next to it is that other drive that goes to 105 Washington and also the schoolhouse right on Liberty, the old schoolhouse.
Which is immediately to the left of the photo.
Yes.
Right, the one to the left goes to two properties and the one to the right goes to our property.
Yes.
Is there an easement agreement on the use of that passageway from Liberty?
I'm not aware
of it. We would not be the ones to answer that. We don't know.
I think it predates any type of easement agreement because it's been there, you know, for 100 years.
Mm-hmm. And there probably is because properties have been sold, and then we have a number of those shared driveways like that in Newtown.
Okay. So now we have the picture up. So Sue, what you're talking about is so it's just a depressed curb we're talking about. We're not talking about any full curb on Cindy's.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's like a little tiny area that where it's not in this picture that there's a full curb as well, right? That doesn't go right to the edge, but
right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand.
Mm. Yeah, well, you can see where the water collects on that right now.
If that area is fixed, the apron has to be fixed and the sidewalks also have to be replaced. The sidewalks are the responsibility of the homeowner. And I think the apron would be also. But the borough wouldn't be performing those. We'd only be putting the curb in, right, Susan?
That's my proposal, yeah.
That's to the south of where we're looking at right now. It's not the part to the left, which would be on the north side of where the curb cut is and the apron.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Have we done the engineering on this as far as, and you know, if this is at the right slope as it is? Because I know we had a problem on the other end of Liberty that we didn't end up doing the work because it's not as easy as just putting in a depressed curb a lot of times. Sometimes the work hasn't been done over the years because it's a little bit complicated.
Well, this was a proposal from the site visit that I made with Michelle and with Joe, their field guy, so.
Okay, so then they must think the slope can be worked with. I guess, I'm just saying like, if, I guess I'm not quite understanding why we wouldn't if that is something the borough wants to take care of, which I understand because it needs to be done, why the depressed curb wouldn't be covered for the neighbor.
Well, that's what we're proposing here.
No, I thought we were talking about Cindy's 14 feet.
Just the depressed curbing from the street to that apron. Right, Susan?
Both aprons.
But, well, yes.
Oh, because that's way more.
The Markey's property also.
No, it's not the Markey's property. We're going to have a further discussion about the road program at our meeting next week, and Michelle will be on that call, obviously. I wanted to introduce the issue, if you will, and have people think about it, because again, we have an ordinance that says that we can direct the homeowner to put in a curb, but we haven't done that in the past. So I think we need to think about how we want to handle this. I personally think it would be a shame to do the whole street and then leave this like this.
So I guess my biggest question is, what's the, like, okay, so let's pretend we're not talking about Sunday Side and we're just looking at the Marquis or whoever, you know, has the easement or whatever. But so that would just be a replacement of apron. We wouldn't even be talking about depressed curbs. So that's what you're saying, that this is unique because this curb is, or this apron is good the way it is as far as engineering goes, but it doesn't have one. But when the Marquis put theirs in, they're gonna have to pay for a depressed curb and an apron.
The Marquis already have a project to do all of that, and they're waiting until we're done with the street work to go ahead and complete their project. If you'll recall, they presented something to us a few months ago about that.
Yeah, and it wasn't concrete too. But I guess I'm just trying to understand how their property is different than Cindy's.
Well, they have a whole project that they want to do. They want to put down those blocks on the driveway as opposed to putting concrete or asphalt. But
that wasn't talking about curbing though, right?
I think the difference here is that the other driveway project is putting in a new apron and therefore has to put in the appropriate curbing. So the quandary now is we're looking at an existing apron that was put in without a curb, and a curb was not required at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think this is probably, we probably need Michelle to help us a little bit with this because of the engineering aspect of it. And the need and so on, and why a curb should be put in now. So my suggestion is that we, you know, go take a look at it, think about it, and I understand Sue's question about who should pay for this, and then bring it up again next week and talk to Michelle about it.
Mm-hmm. I think one piece of information that would be helpful for next week, because we had talked, you know, had the proposal from Sue mainly related to the, you know, sidewalk and potentially the driveway, but nothing about any depressed curb. And since that's all one continuous depressed area, two driveways, but one depressed area, it would make sense for it to be consistent.
So okay. If we want to do it, then the other question is, does the borough want to cover that $1,400? Because we have not yet made homeowners put in curbing where they don't have it. But the borough is in the interest of protecting the roadway and the road project for the borough to put it in. So that's the sort of philosophical question for council to consider. And I'm also wondering if the Flynns have any questions that they'd like to present to council or any commentary on it.
After looking at the video, my question is, of the 14 feet, is it understood that part of it is ours and part of it is our neighbors who put in the new asphalt driveway? I mean, the 14 feet, I don't think to our barn, I think ours is about half that. There were about four squares, sidewalk squares, which would be about 7 feet each. Is that understood?
I think it is. And I apologize because I didn't realize until Mark brought it up and then I didn't follow up on it, that the whole thing was not actually yours, that part of it went back to a different property.
Right. Well, I would like to talk to my neighbors about what's going on and see what they have to say.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So what we don't have is the sub-measure then of the Flynn's apron.
Right.
So that would be helpful to have.
Maybe we'll be able to get that in a month or so after, with the way the snow is going.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so we'll all think on that. And then is that something, Sue, then you'd like to have on the agenda for next week when we have Michelle here?
We need to, I'm going to answer this in a roundabout way. We need to approve the road program. And so whether or not that's included in the bid package needs to be discussed and decided next week, yes.
Yeah, so, okay. So it'll be, so Judy, if we can put that on the agenda for the installation of the depressed curb. And then in that case, then Cindy and Frank should, I guess you should be made aware that this will be back up again.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and then you can communicate with Sue or myself or send something to Judy to send out to everybody, however you like, if you have comments, questions, or after you talk to the neighbors so that you can, you know, be involved in the process.
I got a question for Judy. Judy, can we determine who the owner of that driveway is to see if it is part of Flynn's or maybe it's a easement driveway? Somebody else is responsible.
Well, the left part is definitely not part of the Flynn's.
No, it goes back.
Only the right part is part of the Flynn's. The left part is either it's owned by the home on, you know, on Liberty with an easement back to, you know, 105, or it's owned by 105 with an easement over to Liberty.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Marv.
Well, and that's something to look at if there's anything that's in the road program related to that driveway, because that might be a shared between those two properties as opposed to being all Sue.
Right.
Right. Well, that's a good question because, yeah, if there's anything that either of them need to pay as part of the road program versus their own project with putting in the herringbone pavers and so on, then we want to make sure that was done fairly. Okay, so is that it for the streets portion? Are we ready for the snow portion?
Yeah, Sue, yes. Are you done?
I am, thank you.
Yeah, so on to snow.
It snowed, and this storm was totally different from December's storm. In anticipation of the storm, Scott and I spoke Saturday. We spoke again Sunday. In fact, we've spoken every day this week because the storm lasted from mid-Sunday through today. And it was an unusual mix because we had snow, then we had rain, then we had sleet, then we went back to snow, which changed the composition of what was on the ground during the time that the different remedies to solve the problem were enacted. When I talked to Scott late yesterday, he sounded exhausted and he said his crews were exhausted because they were out there continuously keeping the roads open, particularly for emergency and police, et cetera, et cetera. So if you go out this morning, the roads were wet, but they were clear. There's a lot of snow in the streets taking up parking spaces, and only the weather will solve that problem by either increasing temperatures or it's supposed to rain or a combination. And then it's supposed to get cold again, and we may have another storm Sunday, Monday. So Scott and I become very good telephone buddies, and we're trying to make sure that we give you accurate information. The mayor did call for a snow emergency. We did have vehicles remaining on Washington, which had to be ticketed because they did not move their cars. But generally, the vehicles came off the roads where they could, and we cleaned them up where they could. One of the problems we had on State Street close to Penn, one of the business owners had a private contractor and decided to move all of their snow out of their parking lot into State Street, which is a violation. And I'll be following up on that to talk to the property owner, not to assess a penalty, but tell his contractor never to do it again. Because what that did was it created mounds and mounds of snow and will prevent those business owners on the opposite side of the street from having any parking for at least a week. And we're trying to keep all the businesses alive. We now have 5 vacancies on State Street. So anyway, the streets are clean. The emergency vehicles are up and down the street. People are still trying to find their cars under the snow. The sidewalks were clear, impassable, and we made it through this one. Are there any questions on this snow?
Thank you, Bob. That was a thorough and informative report. So I appreciate your keeping track of things. All right. Do we have any old business?
I have one quick item. Just to let you all know that the e-code manuscript did go to General Code 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard anything back. I don't know, Judy, if you've gotten any response. Did we at least get acknowledgement that they received it?
I did see a confirm receipt. Yeah.
We did? Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Julia. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any new business? Bob?
The Human Relations Commission has scheduled a meeting for this coming Tuesday, this the 9th, at 1 o'clock, and it will be a Zoom meeting. It's been posted on the borough calendar. We've invited the HRC from the township. This is basically an organization meeting, first one of the year. Opportunity for the community to meet the members and discuss the role of the HRC and the role of our ordinance within the community. So everybody's invited. We are not serving any drinks or cookies because it will be a Zoom meeting.
I have one correction to that, Bob. The meeting actually begins at 1:30.
Oh, 1:30. Okay. Thank you very much.
And the Zoom invitation to join, if anyone is interested, is of course on the website calendar.
Any other new business?
I have something. So the rec board is going to have a committee meeting on March 4th for the parks maintenance walkthrough. Hopefully, if all goes well and there's not snow on the ground, then that parks maintenance will be presented to council on March 9th. Mm-hmm. Also at that time, we're going to be discussing Arbor Day options. There's a good chance that Council Rock School District may not allow field trips, so we may need to get creative. Usually the first and fifth graders walk from Goodell Elementary to Brian Gregg Park. So if that ends up not being possible, we could try to use funds for an alternative Arbor Day. Ted Smith, our Shade Tree representative, sent me an email with some Tree City USA ideas that are kind of out in the universe. Unfortunately, with the pandemic still heavily impacting communities around the US, the Tree City USA, they're only, usually we have to have a celebration. Like there's a bunch of things we have to do in order to keep our Tree City designation. But this year, we just need to complete an Arbor Day proclamation in 2021 to earn the recognition. We're still hoping to do something, whether it be a celebratory social media campaign or maybe even just socially distanced tree plantings. One thing that we've always done through the years that we can definitely still do is our poster contest. So we'll definitely make sure that that's something that we kind of join art with creativity with the first and fifth graders. And then there's like fun ideas they had on there that the rec board will discuss, including partnering with local restaurants to give away free seedlings with takeout orders. Just try to get creative that way to kind of help our local businesses at the same time. So as soon as I have more information, I will let everyone know.
That's great. Thank you, Nicole.
Nicole, what's the date of the park inspection?
As long as the weather's good, Bob, it'll be March 4th. Let me check my phone on time. Hold on. And February, March. I think we were doing afternoon-ish. I'm almost positive it was like 3:30, but I'll double check that.
And do you want to have Ron there for that?
We could ask him, yeah, if he's available. Oh, go ahead.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much it's just kind of like looking at the equipment and seeing if anything is broken. But
well, to the extent that there's lawn mowing and other vegetation issues, we may want to address those concurrently so that the park is fully accessible and not dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. Usually goes out and does a full workup on his topic too. So yeah, you guys can figure that out.
There's no reason why we couldn't invite him to come for sure.
Yep.
Okay.
That way we have the plan in place for the spring and all that. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nicole. Any other new business? I'd like to remind everyone, if you haven't reminded your liaisons or if you reminded them but nothing has happened, make sure that everybody who needs to get their annual report in gets it into Judy in a timely fashion. Public to be heard? Anyone? No? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion made, seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, assuming any no nays. All right, motion passes, meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
All
right, thanks. Bye.
Good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right, bye all. Too bad I couldn't see all our guests' faces, but I'm imagining you. I hope everyone's well. All right, take care, bye-bye.